William Shatner was animated. Yeah, Hey Mickey was already ahead of me. Two steps ahead, as usual.
One step back.
Opposite the tracks. God damn it.
You didn't say it right. You're supposed to sing off my pitch.
Well, I had some meetings today.
You're the worst person to do a Paul Abdul duet with.
Podcasts, the final frontier. These are the audio logs of the podcast Superhero Time. Their 5-month mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek, alienate even more listeners, and boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
Superhero Time presents That One Episode of Star Trek with Chris.
You seem really inclined to have me do intro quotes of my bowels.
Hey, Mickey.
Sorry.
Scott.
Love you, Fort Max.
And Fort Max.
Were you again?
Because these episodes are good.
Well, that's because this week is neither Enterprise nor Voyager.
Nor Assignment Earth.
Oh.
Well, the less said about that, the better.
Yeah. No Gary 6, 7, or 8.
But Gary 7, 8, 9.
Oh, God. 7 of them, and Jerry Ryan is smiling somewhere. Oh, Gary 7, 8, 9. Oh, my God. Oh, we just created some fan fiction, y'all. There's some Rule 34 out there now. Thanks.
Maybe even Rule 63, if we're lucky.
Well, yeah, whatever you're into.
Girl Robert Lansing.
Oh, God. It's just him with a wig.
Sort of a cat. No wig. It's just him in a suit with lipstick.
Like the pastel pink from the late 60s?
Yep.
I like it.
Can he have his fingernails painted?
Yes, yeah. His nails are did.
Oh, yeah. You gotta have did nails. And instead of the cat, he's got like a Doberman pincer or something.
No, a chihuahua in a purse.
Oh, God. How did you make that worse?
But his suit is the same fabric pattern as a secretary in Assignment Earth.
Oh, God.
You know, that secretary's little bag thing there would be perfect to put a little dog in.
A little teacup chihuahua named
Precious.
Got ear
holes and everything.
Mm.
So I imagine with like a different dog head coming out of every side of it, though.
So is it like
there's something like dog tesseract with inside it.
It's a hound of Tyndalos. You get that? You're a huge nerd. Oh, yeah. Terrifying.
Right, so anyway, for this week's That One Episode of Star Trek, it's back to animated, so we have two episodes of Star Trek. And they were some pretty good picks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks. Oh, yeah. These were excellent. I watched these and enjoyed the hell out of them. Good mm-hmm. stories, and I was just enjoyed watching them. They were really good.
Yeah, they were.
That's worrisome, because usually when stuff's good and easy to watch, it's hard to talk about.
Well, let's put that to the test. So, Scott, tell us about Tribbles.
Oh, you suck so much. Why do I got to do this? All right.
Because, Scott, you're the low man on the pole.
That's true.
And hey, Mickey can explain to you all the implications of that.
All right. So we're going to start off with the Star Trek Animated Series, Season 1, Episode 5, More Tribbles, More Troubles. Which seems a little ahead of its time, if you ask me. I mean, I got to admit, the thug life in the Federation is thriving in the 23rd century.
Can I imagine like a gold chain with the Starfleet insignia on it?
Oh, yeah. MC Roddenberry. Fuck yeah. All right, so we open up the opening credits, and we have the cell-shaded ship flying by. And the only thing that doesn't...
It's not cell-shaded. It's an actual cell.
That's what I meant. Yes, no, thank you.
So is everything else in this show?
It's a cell to one method of thinking in that, you know, it's a paper cutout that they just slide around in front of the camera.
But Fort Max is absolutely correct. It is a cell because it's on a clear thing. And
now,
yeah,
perhaps what you meant to say is it's a rotoscoped Enterprise, because I'm convinced some of these ship shots are just rotoscoped off of TV series.
Oh, they have to be. At that amazingly smooth 3 frames per second.
Yeah.
So
now,
we open
it
up.
It doesn't even have to be really rotoscoped. It's just one drawing that they just slide across.
Yeah, no, not right. In the opening, but there's shots in the actual show.
Like where the saucer section is coming up towards the lens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's clearly traced.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's too high quality.
Well, traced and not in the way that Filmation stuff usually is.
Yeah, which is tracing their own pictures over and over again to the point where it loses all cohesion of a shape.
And that's how Bravestar was made.
Oh, God. They just turned into colored blobs.
Good so, sheriff.
Good times.
Oh, so the Enterprise is cruising through space, and it's got these two weird-looking, ugly ships in tow. And apparently they're taking tons and tons of grain to Sherman's planet.
Oh, God fucking damn it. It's an escort mission.
It is an escort mission.
Well, you know what? They fail.
But the cool thing is the ships are unmanned. So they're robotic ships, so they can control them remotely. Which I thought, again, you know, especially for late or early 70s at this point, you know, that's some pretty cool sci-fi stuff that they extrapolated that you would have robotic ships you can control remotely.
I think robot ships got mentioned in the original series itself. But, you know, owing to the series budget, didn't really appear on screen.
Right. But these ships have their own little unique designs. And so they're taking these ships full of grain to Sherman's planet, and they come across a Klingon battle cruiser, an old D-7, attacking some civilian Federation ship.
Isn't it a new D-7?
Actually, I think that might be a D-5.
Think it's a D-5? It's older than the D-7s?
Let's see. Now, we're nerds. We have to look this up.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing is, you would know your Ds.
I thought that's Mickey.
Oh.
Now, that's a D if I've ever seen one.
How about a D-7 roll?
Very clumsily. And like forever, it'd be annoying. If the table's not perfectly flat, it would just sit up.
Son of a bitch. You actually have to grab it and hold it and see which one's up top.
It has to be in a bubble, like sorry.
You mean trouble?
Trouble.
Or trouble, right.
Yeah, D7.
Sorry, I don't know my early 70s board games.
Yeah, it's a D7, but to Mickey's point, it's also not old because this is when the D7 was developed.
Yeah, well, old to us being in the early 21st century. Okay, but I digress.
Yes, the ship from the 23rd century is old to us being in the early 21st century.
Exactly. Roll with it.
Like a D0?
Yes, roll with it like a D1. So, of course, our old joke was, I'll sell you a D2 for 50 cents. We just, hand them a quarter. So they get to the ship. They're going to try to beam aboard the one life form on the civilian ship onto the Enterprise. Well, they're having trouble doing this because of the fighting and everything else. And then the Klingons fire this strange immobilizing suppression.
But I think you skipped something.
Oh, did I?
Probably. Yeah, you skipped the part where the Enterprise, the D-7 is chasing another ship.
Yeah. So they're beginning. They're firing on and chasing this little civilian ship.
Oh, okay, sorry. I missed that part. My bad.
That's fine. Plus, I'm trying to listen to you guys and watch the episode at the same time. So
that made
my job is very hard.
That may have been where we diverged into penis jokes and the exact designation of the ship.
Right. So par for the course for this podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You're getting the hang of this, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all on the same page. So the Klingons shoot this weird beam that the Federation and Kirk have never seen before, and it immobilizes their ship. It drains all their power cells. They can't fire weapons. They can't do anything.
It's but their Echo the Dolphin beam.
Yes. But they do notice that the Klingons aren't firing on them either. So they surmise, or Spock surmises, that it takes a great deal of energy so the Klingons can take them out of commission, but the Klingons themselves can't do much either. So it's kind of a useless weapon. So they're talking to the Klingon on the view screen, who's clearly James Doohan,
doing a really weird voice. I don't know why the Klingons talk like this. It's very strange.
It's like they're from South Park.
Oh, come on, guy. It's not real. Look.
Yeah, I don't get that either. So the cool. And again, did this.
Now, was it this episode where they were like kept talking about like warp factor something when they were clearly not in warp?
Yeah, they're like warp factor 8, and they're like within visual range of each other. No, literally, that's what they're going. Oh, quick, go to warp factor 8. It's like you can see them. You can wave through the window.
Well, you know that, you know, Sulu over there is like, yeah, I'm just going to turn this up to impulse half power, and I'm going to mention it to him.
Yeah.
And Kirk's all yelling about, warp 35, go!
Hey, hey, Captain, you dumbass. Yeah, sure. Rolls his eyes. Shoots a look over at Eric's, and Eric's rolls his eyes. They get some... Eric's third arm, he does the jerk off motion, but Kirk can't see it.
Yeah, whatever, Captain.
Actually, Eric's so, probably too stupid to even realize.
Yeah. God, he is like the special needs version of whatever his species is. So, Kirk has the genius idea of using the robot ships to attack or to ram towards the Klingon ship. So the Klingon ship...
The Riker maneuver!
Yes, it's awesome! From different angles, too. So then the Klingon ship has to fire two more of those immobilization beams, which totally drains the power and knocks them all out. So the Klingons, I think, turn tail and run after that. They finally get the person beamed off the little ship, and it turns out to be...
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yes. So he's going to help Kirk finally... get in bed with that one lieutenant by telling him poetry.
I don't think Kirk needs the help.
No, which just makes this episode a little weird. No, so it's yeah, so it's Cyrano comes on board. And he's got all these little pink tribbles with him. He assures the crew
that snowballs from the Hostess Bakery.
That's exactly what they look like, except they're moving. So like one that's a
like
year
the
or two
snowballs
old.
Snowballs from the Hostess Bakery.
Right. Yeah, one that you leave
before
out.
Or they suffocate them in plastic.
Oh, well, now I'm sad.
You're going to cry every time you go to the gas station now.
I live in California. I already do. Prices are very expensive out here. So Cyrano assures the crew that these have been genetically modified, and I think that's actually the term he uses, to not breed. They just get fatter the more they eat. But there can't be any more of them, so everything's fine. It's all good.
So he made them into nerds.
Yeah, they never procreate. They just eat and get fat. No, nothing. All right, tough crowd. So a little close to home there, I guess. So Cyrano pulls out this weird flump-looking creature from D&D First Edition that is apparently a tribble eater. It's this weird little...
It looks like something from the Max.
It does. Like it does. It's
crawling around the outback.
Yeah, it's got these spindly little legs and this pancake body and these little ice stalk eyes. And he says, oh, this is a natural predator, so if you have any trouble with them, just let it feed and everything will be fine.
And it feeds by lowering its anus on top of them.
Right, so it's how you drink coffee.
Look, Mickey, just because that's where you keep your anus doesn't mean that's where it keeps its anus.
Well, sure, fair enough point.
Where do you keep your anus?
Mickey, check your anal privilege.
Not without my anus.
So apparently Cyrano is being pursued by the Klingons for some sort of biological attack on one of their worlds.
I believe you phrase this as like complete environmental devastation.
Yes.
Or something along those lines.
Ecological devastation, maybe?
Right.
Eco-Ginder would not be pleased.
No, he would not.
So they have a little talk with Cyrano, and he goes, well, you're a criminal. We're going to take you in, but we have to deal with this current situation. So McCoy starts examining the tribbles and goes, yeah, he's right. They don't breed. They just get fat, so it's fine.
Okay, now, the problem with the tribbles was that they just kept eating.
Yeah, right? The trouble with tribbles, right?
Yeah, yes, the trouble with tribbles, yes. So the fact that they're not making more of them, that they're just getting fatter and eating more and more, that right, doesn't really stop, solve the problem.
Yeah, it doesn't stop them from eating everything.
Right, which, you know, I think was kind of the initial problem to this. But they resolve it all later in the episode, which I think they tied up everything rather neatly.
Or horrifyingly, I don't know. We'll get there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we'll get there. So they're having a quick conference. Everyone's in there trying to figure out what to do.
And it just so happens they've offloaded all the grain from the wrecked ship into the Enterprise, where there's a bunch of Tribbles running around unchecked.
That's right, yeah, because the Klingons actually blew up or almost destroyed one of the ships. So they had to move all the grain from the storage ship onto their own, onto the Enterprise. So it's like there's giant crates and barrels like in the corridors full of grain.
Which I love how they didn't see how this could possibly be a problem with Tribbles on the ship.
Right.
Right, yeah. Like, it never came up. It's like, well, what will happen? Nah, it's fine. No, I think Kirk actually does make some mention, like, we have containers of grain and Tribbles. I think he made some sort of, like, passive-aggressive remark about it.
It's like, who the hell wrote this episode?
Walter, is this your fault again?
No, I only write about giant Vulcans.
Or does he?
So they get all the grain off. They leave the damaged ship behind. And the Tribbles immediately in the next scene are there, unguarded, apparently opening up these metal cases. Oh, one thing is cute is that the little predator, the little Tribble predator, jumps on one of the Tribbles, and the Tribble's already too fat to eat. And then Kirk, on the bridge, has to shove a Tribble out of his captain's chair. Which seems to be a running gag.
Well, there's always something fuzzy in Kirk's seat.
Yeah. Man, this episode takes a lot of explaining because there's, like, stuff happening. There's, like, plot going on and shit happening.
I know, right?
I feel like I'm talking way too much, y'all.
No. We're just not talking at all.
It's like, well, when you put it that way.
Yeah. Oh, you guys got this. You got this.
Also, so I've kind of forgotten because I was kind of sleepy when I watched this episode.
So the Klingons come back. They've recharged their weapons, which was a lot faster than they thought they could recharge their systems after using that immobilization weapon. And they take out the other ship to destroy the engines to the other robotic ship.
Well, there goes half the grain.
Yeah, well, I don't think
good job, Kirk. Now half the civilization on that planet's going to die.
But the thing is, he gets to choose which half. So,
well, the female sure that, half.
Yeah, exactly. I was pretty sure the gender he's going to pick.
Save the women and the female children first.
Oh, my God.
Well, you got to plan ahead for the next generation.
Yeah. I mean, these 18-year-olds won't be 18 forever. We're going to need a new crop of 18-year-olds.
And strangely, they only come around about every 18 years. So we got a cool space battle there between the Enterprise and the Klingon ship.
Now, I particularly like how they actually show the shots impacting on the shields, not the ship.
Yes.
Yeah. I also like how the Klingon ship actually has, like, Klingon lettering on it.
Mm-hmm. And shoots a green disruptor beam, too.
It's good production detail.
It really is. And the animation itself sucks, but the design and the care they put in it is still really good. You can tell the people who did this cared about what they were working on.
They just had zero money.
Exactly.
So they made the choices they could make.
No, I think you're absolutely right.
If only I can draw two frames of animation, we're going to make damn sure y'all draw the right two.
It's going to serve.
We're going to see a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even draw like animation. All they did is cut out from the storyboards.
Well, like an X-Acto knife.
Uh-huh.
Paste it onto a cell. Oh, man. So, the little predator is jumping on
these
Tribbles.
Yeah, that's even more work than what they how they actually make the cells. Is they would just need to photocopy the storyboards onto cells.
Do they have photocopiers back then?
Mimeograph machines.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Garotype.
Because that's how they would do it. I mean, they would use some sort of photoelectronic process to copy a drawing onto the cell, then they'd ink it and paint it.
That's actually
I like how the phrase using a photoelectronic process to copy the cell sounds like something they would say in Star Trek is technobabble.
Yeah. Well, the best technobabble has like a root in reality, so.
Yeah, you reverse those anti-chronotons.
Yeah, that's why Voyager's technobabble sounded so ridiculous, because they gave up any pretext of it making any kind of logical sense.
I do love that Kirk continuously has to kick Tribbles, bigger and bigger Tribbles, out of his chair.
No, it's the same one.
Yeah, I think it is supposed to be the same one.
Here's the thing. That Tribble is the cat that is keeps getting in your chair right before you sit down in it.
It looks at you indignantly when you throw it off. Like, I was sitting right there.
Yeah. And then it goes and knocks down your stormtroopers.
Yes.
And or licks its anus.
Well, why not do both?
You're right. I do.
At the same time?
Yes. You get that one foot up like he's asking a question.
No.
It's like, you, down in front, you have a question? It's really fun to go there and grab their feet when they get their feet up in the air like that. They really hate that.
Lower the antenna.
Yeah, lower the antenna. Oh, man, so apparently the Klingon stasis beam or whatever can destroy photon torpedoes in flight. Holy crap.
It stasises them to death.
It does. Yeah.
Stay.
So we're talking to, like, the weirdest speaking Klingon who's wearing fuchsia I've ever seen. Oh, actually, it's Koloth with a K. It's like Moloth, but with a K.
It's the Klingon you.
Yes.
And you know why they're purple, right?
So they can, they're camouflaged with the transporter room?
One of the color directors for the animated series was colorblind.
Oh. Wait.
Really?
Yeah.
A color director. Did they know this at the time?
They don't.
Well, you know, they can only afford to get what they could get. Disney was paying the real money for the real color directors.
Yeah, I think his brother was the mime that had verbal Tourette's. And the brain surgeon.
So, let's say a person who's been deaf since birth only knows how to communicate via sign. If they have Tourette's, do they just, like, go flipping people off all the time?
I think we've met people like that.
Okay, I think I've told this story before.
But
I was leaving my neighborhood one day, and I see across the street, walking down the sidewalk in front of the subway, is a guy talking to himself, angrily, in sign language.
Oh my god. Are you sure it was real sign language? He wasn't just like spasming or just making handshakes?
Well, no, they seem to be pretty specific gestures.
Okay.
And he wasn't happy.
That is awesome. That's like the golden unicorn of crazy, crazy wandering people.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, I was going up the freeway here in California. This was, you know, a couple years ago. And everyone was having to swerve out of the middle lane. And I was like, what the hell's going on? People like swerving to the right, to the left, trying to get out of the middle lane as they're, you know, going 80, 90 down the freeway. And everyone's moving at the same speed. Turns out there was this little douchebag in a Scion XB, a little box.
Wait, is this a story about Mickey?
No, it's not. And he was going 50 miles an hour, and he was leaned over his steering wheel and literally flipping everyone passing him off. Because I passed him, and I looked in the review. Like, every time someone passed him, he would just sneer at them and flip them off. He was intentionally doing it and then pissed people were passing him. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. Can't imagine why somebody would do that.
I'm kind of surprised he could do 50 miles an hour in a California freeway. I thought they were constantly gridlocked. Or is that just L.A.?
That's just L.A.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's plenty of parts of California where there's nobody there. It's just L.A. L.A. is a nightmare.
See, so, like, parts of that story sound less like a Hey Mickey story and more like a Ben story, except Ben would be going like 110.
Yeah.
And be flipping everyone off.
Well, yes, that's the part that sounds like a Ben story for it, Max.
Yeah. Except Ben wouldn't flip someone off. He would just try to run them off the road.
Yeah, he'd just do like the Yeah, the back corner panel spin out that the cops use. What's that called?
Pit maneuver.
Yeah, the pit maneuver. Yeah, you'd just be pit maneuvering people. So in case anyone's curious, what they decided to do was
transport all
the tribbles over to the Klingon ship. And by this time, they are the size of houses. They are massive, and it makes the little predator thing run away in the goofiest animation I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's some Scooby-Doo shit right there.
Jeez, Scoob!
Okay, right, so they beam the tribbles over to the Klingon ship, because that's their defense plan B.
Right.
Courtesy of Mr. Spock. But as it turns out, all the Klingons wanted was the little predator animal that Cyrano Jones had taken from them.
Right. Because it's a genetically modified or created organism to kill the tribbles, because the tribbles, you know, were just breeding too fast. So this is the first of its kind.
Well, and it's more, well, not just that they're breeding too fast, it's just that they're tribbles and Klingons hate them.
Well, yeah. Klingons hate tribbles, and yeah.
It can be some column A and column B.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's a reason Klingons hate them.
I remember there was the Great Tribble Hunt.
Ah, we sing songs of that great day. So that was their plan.
This one, McCoy chimes in with what he's learned,
which is that apparently Cyrano Jones's new tribbles are a fungal species, and they reproduce by exploding into millions of little spores.
Yeah, it's a colony. The big ones are actually colonies. So when you attack them, they explode in a shower of smaller tribbles.
Cut to the Klingon ship.
Yeah.
It's so horrifying.
He takes a disruptor pistol, which looks awesome, by the way, shoots it in this shower. This just absolute bukkake shower of pink tribbles washes over their mustache bearded faces.
Never do that again.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. And
at the end, it's like, well, do we tell the Klingons how to fix this? Later.
Right, like, because
fuck them.
It's like, what are they going to do, like, call them later and tell them? I mean, why would they even bother?
Look, as long as they kill all the tribbles before they get huge, it shouldn't be a problem.
Oh, man. So, I like this episode. Because it had some really cool sci-fi stuff to it. It had a discernible plot. It was cute, but it was still, like, intelligent. Well, they had these problems, and they solved them. Klingons had a new weapon. I mean, there was all these things going on, and it all kind of fit together. I was really pleased with it.
Oh, sadly, Cyrano Jones did not have as amazing a character model as Mudd did.
No, but it was creepy all the same.
His head looked like a toe that was like had an ingrown toenail,
something like that.
I don't know, the way they animated his head, it just looked too toe-ish. Toe-like.
It was pretty weird.
I would say toey, but I'd get you guys started talking about, you know.
No, that's only if it was CGI.
No, okay. All right, so does anybody have anything to add to this episode besides it was actually pretty good and the tribbles were pink?
It was pretty good.
The tribbles were pink.
Okay, guys, I think we need to make a new rule. We can't watch any good episodes anymore because they're boring. We have nothing to make fun of.
Ah, well, I have bad news for you, Scott. We have another good episode of the animated series to talk about tonight. Mickey, your turn.
There was no sexism in this one or anything.
No what?
No, there was no sexism. There was no like stupid female characters for no reason. And by that I mean characters that are female and stupid.
But not stupid because they're female.
Right.
Right, it's not like this is a Japanese produced show.
Ooh.
All right, so the Enterprise is just sort of cruising around in space here. Oh, this is Season 2, Episode 3, The Practical Joker. And it cruises around a planet, and surprise, Romulans. Three of them. Oh, shit. Run.
Although the Romulans are in D7s.
Yes, as established in the original series.
But they're blue, so it's fine.
And their weapons are blue, too. So, all right.
Because they're powered by Romulan ale.
They're not Klingons.
Hmm? Romulan weapons are powered by Romulan ale.
But they have plasma-based weapons.
Shut up.
Like the, no. Their weapons are blood-based?
No, not hemoglobin. Plasma. The fourth state of matter.
Yes, plasma. It's what's suspends the hemoglobin.
See, this is what happens when you let nerds go to like any kind of medical training.
What, you like prick your finger and wonder why a superheated gas isn't coming out?
Yeah, ionized gas. Uh-huh. That'd be awesome. Like Iron Man.
Finger guns. Bang, bang.
So does that explain why it burns so bad when I pee? Is that what it is? Do I have like plasma? That's awesome. Oh, no medical advice on that, huh?
Now, here's the thing. Are they anywhere near Romulan territory? Because...
Well, the Romulans think so.
Yeah, that... Whether they are or not is never really explained in this episode.
That's true, because the Romulans are like, hey, you were in our territory. And Kirk's like, no, we weren't.
No, we're not.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
And that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a gray area in the narrative, really.
Yeah, well, like, of course, it's a gray area. Lost. It's the Romulans.
Mm-mm. It's kind of a blue area.
Well, which is more likely? Three Romulan ships to be lost or Kirk to not actually know what's going on around him?
I don't know, Ayn. There is, Ayn, it could be that Romulan ale.
Well, and you assume that the Romulans are lost and that they're not just, you know, coming and making
lost.
A claim.
Yeah.
And not Kirk, who just accidentally on purpose cut in line at a movie theater and then nothing happens.
No, that'd be a great episode of the animated series. Like, it's just a day in Kirk's life while he's on vacation.
I like the one where Picard went to Risa.
No, here's the thing.
Kirk on vacation,
he would take his chair with him. He'd bring it with him to the movie theater.
See? That's what I want to see. Stuff like that. You know, Picard went on vacation and had this grand adventure.
Archaeology.
This grand adventure of, like, sleeping in a cave. Whereas, you know, Kirk would go on vacation with his chair and just, like, go grocery shopping, see a movie, you know.
It would be like this. It would be kind of like what Saitama really wants to be doing all the time.
Actually, wouldn't Kirk be like riding horses and chopping wood?
Making eggs for different women? God, man. That Kirk does love making some eggs for women.
You know, look, Cat, get down.
Well, he's taken so many from them.
You do not want to headbutt the cup full of water.
No, Cat definitely wants to do that.
Have you forgotten what happened last time?
Yes.
Hey,
I have.
Mickey, did your cat go bug Fort Max now?
Maybe.
Oh my God.
I'm going to turn around and see Fort Max sitting there behind me.
Oh, hey. So I like the scene in this episode where they're drinking out of their cups and it spills on their shirts.
Whoa, No. We haven't got that far yet.
Oh, okay.
So in order to escape the Romulans, Kirk decides the best thing to do is fly the Enterprise into this cloud of smoking, sparking gas.
That is not on any of the charts.
Mm-hmm.
What could possibly go wrong?
This is why he's captain.
He's got to make those hard decisions.
Yeah, you would not get like these bold, innovative strategies from Spock or Sulu.
Well, Sulu's not allowed to speak unless spoken to, so yeah, you're right.
I don't know, Ayn. Spock's the one who decided, let's beam all the Tribbles aboard the Klingon ship.
Well, yeah, but that's a safe thing to do. That's not flying the ship through a cloud of smoking, sparking gas.
It's not safe for the Tribbles.
Yeah, but they're just Tribbles. Who cares?
Do Tribbles taste good?
If you set a baby in a tiger pit, you know what's going to happen.
Well, who cares? It's just a baby.
Yeah, I'm going to make some money on ticket sales. That's what's going to happen.
The Romulans decide not to follow the Enterprise to the mysterious gas cloud. So the Enterprise escapes. Hooray. So the crew decides, let's celebrate.
Or have lunch, whatever.
Yeah. I like how so their table is set up like a Roman orgy. There's like fruit piles and stuff.
I'm telling you,
let's celebrate escaping the Romulans that we still don't know what their deal is.
But we got away from them, and that's what matters. Look, we have a whole Federation Starfleet to deal with that, if that's really a problem. We can just go to war with them.
So as Sulu picks up his flower vase to have a drink.
My mom used to have a glass like that.
He coats himself with a thick white viscous fluid.
That's like right I said. That's right beneath his chin, on his collar, and the top of his shirt.
And then it happens to Uhura and McCoy and Scotty, and everyone's all coated in white goo. And then Kirk's fork melts.
Yeah, I'm telling you, on one of these angles in this scene, there is just a plate that's full of bacon.
It's the future. Everything is awesome.
What do you think Scotty eats?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you got to be Scotty, movie Scotty?
He drank a lot.
I can see Kirk, though, when Kirk picks up his fork and it goes limp, he's like, I swear this never happens. I've never gripped something hard and it goes soft.
Bones, can you give me something for this?
He has ground up tribbles. Snort this.
Bones.
Well, Fort Mac, where do you think he got the nickname from?
So the crew decides, oh, it must be practical jokes. Ha ha ha. It's all hilarious.
So funny. So goddamn funny.
So later on the bridge, Spock falls for the old putting ink on the science viewfinder trick.
Viewfinder that apparently hadn't been there before.
Right. That's the part that I think is funny. It's like, oh, this piece of equipment was just at my station, so let me just look into it for no reason.
And, you know, that gag there actually is pretty hilarious, because there's nothing more funny than playing a prank on someone who has no sense of humor.
True. Although, I did wonder, though, considering how much eyeshadow and makeup that Spock normally wore, what would it actually do to him? You probably couldn't even tell the difference. He would just look a little tired.
Maybe it didn't put eyeshadow on him, or makeup on him. It took it off, yeah. And his eyes are all beat up and blackened.
Uh-huh. Although, like, would the Vulcan actually get a black eye?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would still, the copper-based blood would still turn dark under the skin.
I wonder.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to test that.
I guess the question is, what color is Vulcan blood that's not oxygenated?
I guess copper colored. Because it only turns green because it's oxygenated, right? So it'd be like the color of Eric's.
Yeah, so wouldn't he get like, you know, a bronze eye instead of a black eye?
Oh, that's much cooler. I like that better. Yeah. You see, like, T'Pol come in with, like, a bronze eye, and that's what you get for back-talking Archer.
Well, it's got dark.
I pulled out Enterprise.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
you've gone Cylon, Mickey.
No, you've gone Cylon.
Soundwave.
Hey, Mickey Superior.
Okay. So, meanwhile, in the mess hall, we're about to break into a Three Stooges routine with Eric's cat slut and Scotty.
Is it just me, or does Maress, or however you pronounce her name, look like Homer Simpson when he's confused? Because her eyes are looking two totally different directions. There's no excuse the fact she has cat eyes. She's clearly like, da.
So, in other words, she looks like someone from across half of the time.
Yes. Only not as litigious.
Oh, Harmony Gold.
So, again,
Stinger, close the episode.
Huh?
And again, Scotty gets creamed with white goopy substance on his face.
Yeah, I love that it ends the total Bulk and Skull moment of him getting pied in the face.
So I thought it was kind of weird. In the next scene, Eric's is in the captain's chair. Is he really up next?
No, he can't be.
He's confused.
Like, he's Chekhov's replacement. And Chekhov is at, you know, bottom of the rungs.
Right. It would be Spock and then, like, Sulu, right?
If not Scotty.
Yo, I think it's Spock, Scotty, or her,
But I didn't hear Eric's anywhere in that list. So no. The fact that he's sitting in the chair, you'd think Kirk would be, like, smacking him or something.
Well, Kirk's distracted by other things. I think Eric's just sitting in the chair wondering, why is my console so far away from me? I'm not moving this far away.
This is weird.
Either that or it's that lowest one on the totem pole is the one who has to move.
My arms got shorter. What's happening?
He just thinks it's another practical joke being played on him.
This isn't my room.
Oh, so, no. The real joke is he thought that was the toilet.
You beat me to it. I was just about to say, it's like they made the head look like the bridge. This toilet looks just like Captain Kirk's chair.
What an honor.
Oh, Eric's, why are you even there? How can they have such a neat looking character and then do nothing with you ever? Although, I have to say, and I don't know if you want to bring it first or I'm going to get to it first, Kirk is a jerk.
Yes. Kirk
enters
the scene.
Can we buy this shirt from like Think Geek or something?
It's more of a Tumblr thing, I think.
Etsy, I don't care. I want to go to a convention dressed like Kirk, but with that on the back of the shirt. I want to go specifically
as Kirk. You know,
this episode. What it made me think of was Don't Vote for Dummy.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it also made me think for a good time call.
Jenny?
Yeah, so Kirk comes in wearing his Kirk as a Jerk shirt. Clearly he's wearing it instead of wearing something else.
Well, he only has one uniform top, you know.
And plus, no problem if going he wasn't shirtless. Wearing it, he couldn't dramatically just turn around to show it on his back.
Right. To which the entire crew is horrified, yet someone's laughing.
I wonder who.
It's Russ, or Nurse Chapel.
Yeah, it's hard to tell the difference.
Well, one shaves their legs, and the other one shaves their... Ah, never mind.
So Marissa says, look behind you, Captain. He's like, I'm not falling for that shit. He's like, no, seriously, that the building's on fire. Oh, shit, well, I should go take care of this. So his ruined laundry, forgotten about. It's time for some gay escapades on ice.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, it's not smoke. It's fog.
Oh, Captain, I almost fell on top of you. Oh.
Oh, tiki, I tripped.
Oh.
Wait.
My clothes fell off.
Who were you talking as? Okay. Captain, I almost fell on you.
Well, I'm kind of doing the Spock thing because he's like, you know, trying not to fall over.
So Spock trying not to fall over is William Shatner.
Yeah.
No, that sounds about right. Because, like, William Shatner is basically just William Shatner not trying to fall over.
Yeah, there was almost a Rule 34 fanfic in this one scene.
Yeah, so while that's going on, Bones, Scotty, and Uhura are like, enough of this shit. Let's take a break. I need a smoke. I'm sorry, it's Sulu, not Scotty.
This is the first time that there's a holodeck-like thing, right?
I think?
It might be. It might be the first time they have some sort of holodeck. Because I know it was in the animated series more than once, but I don't remember if this is the first one or not. This is season two, though, right?
Yeah,
and there's only four episodes in season two, so it had to happen before this.
Right. So they're trying to figure out what kind of place they want to be in.
How about the beach?
Great. This is like toothpaste washing up on the shore.
But no, McCoy's more in the mood for some ticks and poison ivy.
Well, they're just simulated ticks, so it's fine.
Simulated Lyme disease. Lemon Lyme disease.
That sounds delicious. Well, you know what they say, when life gives you lemons... Wait, no, that doesn't work.
Okay, yeah, this was the first time that they had a rec route with holographic projection.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, we're watching history, Star Trek history in the making, people.
Yes, and so for the very first time that a holodeck appears in Star Trek...
It tries to kill someone.
Yep.
It's a good thing they learned their lessons from this, and this never happened again.
No, after this they invented safety protocols that would surely protect anyone who used the holodeck.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Except for the living sentient beings that it will create on its own out of a whim.
Yeah, strange that.
Meanwhile, back in the bridge, they're wondering, okay, where the hell did our crew go? Get your asses up here.
Oh, yeah, they're in, like, ship-wide alerts going, everyone to battle stations, everyone to stations. And there's Mares, who's apparently part chameleon, looking in two different directions again. Keep waiting for her tongue to go out and snap something off the wall.
If you touch her tail, she shoots it off and runs away.
Scissor and wiggles for a while.
Meanwhile, if you touch Shatner in the right place, he shoots off and runs away.
I told you this never happens.
So, meanwhile, in the holodeck, our intrepid explorers are tripping and falling into a pit. Have a nice trip. See you next fall. Ha 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 ha. Humor.
They be tripping.
That is about the level of humor that the computer shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a 3-year-old who like throws something at you then laughs because that's the joke.
No, I kind of like that the computer's just laughing its ass off at these third grade jokes.
Mm-hmm.
That like no one else is even remotely amused by. It's like, uh-huh.
Right.
Just ah, it's the best thing ever.
Well, this kind of goes on the thing of, it's like, you didn't trick me, you just lied. You know, it's not a prank, you just punched me. You know, there's like a difference there.
And how hilarious it is that, say please, pretty please, with right. Sugar.
Yeah, being a dick to Kirk is kind of funny.
Yeah.
If you have the ability to do so and not, yeah, face repercussions, it would be kind of fun to mess with Kirk.
Yeah.
I mean, look what Q did to Picard. I mean, same principle. Take someone serious and you fuck with them.
Just don't try that with Sisko.
No, because he will punch your ass. He will lay you out without even thinking.
He's not Picard.
He is not Picard. Hey, Mickey?
Yeah?
He is not Picard.
Oh, he certainly is not. Of all the things he is not, Picard is like right at the top of the list.
Picard never would have punched Q.
Picard would have just killed his wife.
Oh my God. Shut up, Wesley. Oh,
actually,
yeah.
Picard has a thing about killing people's spouses, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's,
oh, snap, he does.
He's really good at it, though, because he never gets caught. He's a suspect. But he still
well,
has
even when even when you know it's him, like technically he can claim he's not responsible.
Exactly. That's how good he is. He's a psychopath.
Well, have you ever known like any healthy person that drinks that much tea? Yeah, you know who drinks tea that much? The British.
And Southerners.
Yeah.
And both of them had the same level of dental hygiene.
I don't know. The British usually still have all their teeth.
Somehow.
They're just throwing up gang signs. But no, fair point. Fair point. That's an excellent point.
Okay, where were we?
I don't know.
Okay, well... Bones and company are freezing to death in the holodeck. Scotty is trying to solve the problem the way an engineer would, as by going through panels and wires.
Sure.
Then the ship decides, wouldn't it be really funny if I turned off the gravity?
Yeah, they just show the chaos that happens on the ship when this happens. Like people in intensive care who've been wounded, you know, start floating out of their bed, and babies flying out of their. Oh, I guess there's no families on the ship. Never mind.
Now Kirk leaves all his families behind on the planets he visits.
That's true. Space seed indeed.
Around this time, Spock figures out, I remember that cloud of mysterious sparking gas we drove through? Yeah? Think that did something? Huh. Maybe.
By Jove, you're a genius! It's the only weird thing that's happened in days. That can't possibly be it.
So basically, the ship's computer has been infected by space magic.
Yeah, like subatomic radioactive particles have made the computer go insane.
It's they've made the computer hilarious.
Yes. So,
well, I think it's less insane, more turned it into a second grader.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really know the functional difference of those. Have you met many second graders?
Well,
I mean,
no.
Are you legally allowed to? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I was a second grader. I suppose I met some then, but
wow, you made it all the way up to second grade? What's that like?
Well, I skipped a grade.
Okay. Oh boy. So
let's see. Around this time, the ship decides to play a new trick. Let's go into the neutral zone. That'll be fun. No. Let's see here. And as the Romulans close in, the ship probably does the most insane thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It shits out a giant balloon of the Enterprise.
And one that is like 20 times bigger than the ship itself? Is that what they say?
Yes.
Or like 10 or something.
No, I believe 20 was the number they used.
Yeah, I think it was 20 times larger.
Let's be fair, that's actually supposed to be 20 times larger than the Romulans.
Yeah, you might be right. But I thought the D7s were pretty close in size to the Constitution class.
Not like you ever see them on the same, you know, in the same shot. Together.
Yeah. Same cell. That's true.
Well, I'm even thinking like the couple times they appeared in the series. You know, you didn't really see them side by side like that for comparison.
Yeah. Right. But yes, so apparently out of the cargo bay, this giant inflatable version of the Enterprise is now cruising through space, and it's enough to somehow confuse the Romulans. They can't tell that this is like an inflatable real doll for the Enterprise.
No, how do you inflate something
would expect
in space?
Who would expect the inflatable Enterprise?
Spanish Inquisition?
God damn it.
No, it'd be easy to inflate something in space because there's no outside pressure to, you know,
well, then
it
would just
down.
Keep on inflating, wouldn't it?
No, well, no if you put a correct measure of gas inside, it would, you know, inflate it up but not explode it.
Right.
And it's just like for inflating something in an atmosphere.
Yeah, just shake up the soda can and open it and it'll be fine.
Right, it's just easier because there's no outside pressure working against you.
Okay, let's go to the bigger problem. Where the fuck do they get inflatable Enterprise from?
Oh, well, that's not really important.
Yeah, is that standard issue? I mean,
is that their life raft in case they can do a water landing?
It's like it's just like their ship, except everything's all bouncy. It's like a bouncy house on the inside.
That was like awesome, actually.
Yes. It's like, an airplane crash.
An Enterprise bounce house.
When the ramp comes down and inflates on an airplane. So Kirk has the brilliant idea of going, oh no, don't throw me back into the briar patch. I mean, the atom cloud.
And the ship's like, oh, you're terrified of it? That'll be hilarious. We're going back to the cloud.
Yeah, which again, I still think the ship went insane, not just funny, because it's like, oh, I want to terrify my crew. Apparently the Enterprise is a bitch.
Well, and they also said it was specifically seeking revenge against the Romulans.
Right, so why would it care about Kirk?
Well, I just mean that's more indication that, like, you know, the ship has gone insane.
Right. Insane in the mainframe.
Ugh, no.
Aw. I think we skipped the part where they the ship put laughing gas into the atmosphere.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, because
almost killed everybody.
The reason that I bring that up is because George Takei, we get to hear his laugh loud and clear, and it is epic. It's crazy.
Like a mixture of George Takei and like a British nobleman.
Yeah, pretty much, because it's George Takei when he was younger, so he's not quite as subdued as it is now. Because now it's more like,
looking at Twitter, I am expecting this to be can't remember what the fake Arby's account is.
Nihilist Arby's.
Yeah, Nihilist Arby's. I have expected this to be a Nihilist Arby's tweet here.
Which one?
What is it? Oh, this is the actual Arby's.
Yes.
Don't forget to eat tomorrow.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yep, I'm going to go ahead and like and retweet that.
Bloop.
Well.
So, yes, don't forget to eat tomorrow, hashtag Fallout 4. And they have someone in a very nice cosplay costume eating Arby's while dressed as a wasteland wanderer from a vault dweller.
Apocalypse. Makes me hungry for Arby's.
Well, I mean, that's what it would take to get me to eat Arby's, so.
And that's what it's going to do to your digestive tract.
Fallout.
Have a Jamocha shake and turn to a glowing one.
Oh my god, Jamocha shakes. The Jamama shakes.
Yeah. Like a small Jamama shake.
I'm sorry, sir, but Jamama only comes in large.
While we're talking about Twitter accounts, are any of you aware of Batman 66 labels?
No.
No, but it sounds cool.
It's a Twitter account that's just tweeting all the labeled items in the Batman show.
That sounds like it could be entertaining.
Like, this is not the best one, but it's the latest one.
Yes, yeah, so there's a picture, and again, the 60s, so the room is purple. There's a some sort of mat stuck to the wall. Batman and Robin are also stuck to it on their backs, looking like rats in the sticky paper. And above it, in a big blue card in bright yellow letters, it says, undetachable glue pad.
Here, this is the best one so far.
In case there is... it's undetachable. Oh, this... See, this is the thing I can think about the show that I never got until fairly recently was it was a parody of itself. I didn't get that for a long time.
Yeah, it was intended to be ridiculous.
Yeah, uh-huh. See, I didn't get that. So this is they're looking at one of those translucent maps, you know, that stands vertically like you see in Star Wars and stuff. And it's kind of like, you know, lit through like the Lucite so you can kind of see it. And it's labeled Giant Lighted Lucite Map of Gotham City. That is the label that is on the object itself. Brilliant.
I need to pick up the Blu-rays at some point.
One more. One more, and then we can get back to Star Trek.
That's fine, because my Netflix crashed. So.
Secret refrigerator.
Do not open.
It's just an ice box that you'd see outside of a gas station, and it just says, secret refrigerator, do not open.
Usu and alchemy.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So the Romulans blow up the other Enterprise. The inflatable Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
follow the real Enterprise into the gas cloud.
Because, you see, the Romulans are kind of pissed that they were tricked into blowing up a balloon.
Yeah. Yeah, they make the comment of something like, being disgraced is worse than death or something like that. Being tricked is worse than death for Romulans.
They sound more like Klingons at that rate.
Yeah. Everybody but us progressive Federation people.
I mean, Romulans are kind of all about trickery, aren't they?
Yes. I guess that's why if they get tricked, then it's like the worst thing ever. They get tricked.
Yeah, I guess so.
And dish it out, but they can't take it. Yeah. So they follow Enterprise into the gas cloud and quickly decide, screw this shit, we're going home. We can't possibly follow the Enterprise through this cloud. It's gassy.
And radioactive.
It smells like poo gas.
Full of methane and sulfur.
So as they turn tail and head back home to Romulus, the Enterprise over the radio hears the faint cries of, oh God, why are the dispensers spitting out desserts? Ha 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 ha, freeze frame.
And we'll tell them how to handle it later.
That's their solution to everything.
Yeah, they're just handing out IOUs to like half the races in the galaxy.
Oh no, desserts, our only weakness.
I would say, have you ever seen a fat Romulan? But I think there have been fat Romulans.
On occasion?
Yeah. Romulan like dessert would be.
Gray.
It'd have a razor blade hidden in it. And that's what they give their kids to teach them treachery. Guess you should have checked your food there, eh?
Wow, that sounds more like Cardassian upbringing.
No, they love their kids.
Did the Cardassian upbringing would be they'd give them like a club to beat a Bajoran with or something.
Yeah, Bajoran beaten stick.
They will oppress you if given the chance.
So we doing armpit fetishes now or what?
What?
Fort Max posted some things.
What's this?
I'm going to assume Fort Max meant to post this to everybody.
It's mostly just Hero being posted in there because it looks funny with him there.
Oh, okay.
Well, just a bunch of tweets and retweets and replies of characters of their account that are arms up and their hands on the back of their head. So it's very armpit centric.
I feel worse. I'm pretty sure I know what episode of Gundam Wing that's from.
See, it made more sense if it was Catra there, because Catra's already pretty much a preteen girl.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how well Brad Swale did that voice.
Yeah, I think we need to go back to really crappy Star Trek episodes, because these were good. We don't have anything to make fun of, because they were good.
There was plenty of stuff to make fun of.
Yes, we talked about this for, let me check, over an hour now.
Yeah.
With only minimal diversions.
That's true. True, we got some dong talk in there, which is important.
Like if you think back to the last episode of Voyager we did, think about all the times we veered off course on that.
Yeah, but that was fun, though. See, and this is actually one that was going to happen next in the episode. So I wanted, okay, guys, shut up. I'm trying to watch. Rude. Jeez. I can hear you smacking popcorn. Stop it.
No, that's the thing. Like, we talk about good episodes and we talk about bad episodes. It's a balance.
Yeah.
What we don't want to talk about is the boring episodes, and these weren't boring.
That's true. Yeah, there was like stuff happening all the time. So they had 20 minutes and they had a lot of shit to do.
Yeah, they really did pack it in there.
Yeah, they really shoved it in.
Mm-hmm. That's the nice thing about animated series is they don't waste a lot of time.
Yeah, it's pretty snappy, I gotta say.
Well, I mean, when you're paying for every single frame that goes on screen, instead of just setting a camera up somewhere and letting it shoot down an empty corridor for a
Well, actually, shot. No, because in animation, you can easily reuse cells and just drag shit out with voiceovers and repeating the same tracking shots.
That would be the logical approach, but obviously it's Filmation, so they just traced over everything every time. They didn't actually directly reuse anything. They just reproduced
They did
time.
A lot of reusing. It's usually the tracing was when they were tracing like one animation from on Well, they would trace stuff when they were using it, having a different character do the same motion, or a lot of times across series. And they just tweak it a little.
Yeah.
Right, Fort Max, but the jokes.
True.
Logical, Captain. Are we sure Fort Max isn't Vulcan?
Nope, just Australian.
Space Australian.
Space Australian.
Which, I mean, might as well be a Vulcan. Have you seen their planet?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's like it's you know, Ayers Rock is like over that next ridge.
Yeah, desert everywhere. Most of the wildlife wants to kill you.
Yeah.
Pointy ears.
Green-blooded bastards. Space Australia.
You never watched Dragon Ball Z Abridged, did you?
Abridged?
Right.
I may have seen that. That actually rings a bell. Because I used to watch Dragon Ball Z back in the day, and I may have seen Abridged. That does ring a bell.
I would think if you had seen it, you would know for sure.
Well, I consume a lot of stuff online. It's hard for me to keep all that stuff straight in my head. So.
No, that's no excuse.
That's true. After listening to you guys talk about episodes and stuff that you've seen and all the characters and plots, and you can tell where one special effect came from one episode of something that happened in 1983, I can see how you would not respect my memory.
That's Fort Max's gift, not ours.
I don't think I mentioned that one effect I was talking about came from 1983.
See, I knew that. I was just trying to be nice.
As far as we know, it did. So,
yes, for all you idiots know, it did.
Well then,
all right.
It's
so,
it's like you're becoming me by osmosis somehow.
Well, that's scary.
Especially considering what osmosis entails. I didn't even buy you dinner first. So, who is looking forward and who's playing Fallout 4 tomorrow?
Well, before we start discussing that, we need to discuss what we're watching next.
Yeah, yeah. What are we watching next?
Well, are we doing Next Generation or are we going to do a movie?
Next Generation.
Okay.
Movies are only once in a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's watch something bad.
There's only 10 of them total.
Oh. after seeing the emails that kind of went around a little bit discussing the next episodes, possibly, I meant to reply to this, but it didn't seem like a good way to do it. Hey, Mickey, your suggestion, which I don't know if we're going to do or not, so this isn't canon.
Nah, I don't think there's enough interest.
Not enough interest? Okay. But I do remember, I don't know if anyone's going to recognize this, the one thing I remember from that episode, the term fibrous husk. For some reason, that term has stuck with me for 25 years after watching that episode, and it still gives me the heebie-jeebie for some reason.
Yeah, that gives you pause.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like the only thing I had going into that episode was the discussion of a fibrous husk and what Riker was going to do to it.
He was going to sex it up.
Like, our species are incompatible.
His game was so strong, he gave her a vagina.
I think she may have had a vagina, but just not a uterus. I don't know how all that worked. They didn't give diagrams in the episode.
Probably for the best.
Well, one way or the other, he made her fertile.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt.
So, what are we going to do next week?
Okay, let's do something bad, but fun bad. So, I'm thinking season one or two.
That's a good idea.
I'm thinking either something heavy Pulaski.
Is there any other kind of Pulaski?
Oh! Wordplay.
Oh. Oh, so that's what it takes to make you people happy.
Or maybe
all
like right. Lore. Lore is fun.
There's the Pulaski twin in that.
Well, I think Lore's first appearance is kind of fun, too. He just goes around beating the shit out of people.
So have you guys already done Naked Now?
No.
which is the Psy 2000 virus where I think Data got sexed.
Which I think is where a completely failed colony came from.
I think so. That's episode 2. I don't know if you guys have done that one.
Yeah, I could go for some Yar.
Said no one ever. Well, Data.
How about Skin of Evil? That one's funny.
Yeah.
No, if we were going to go Pulaski, there's only really a couple of solid options for that.
I hope Everlux won an episode.
Well, there's the episode where they take off Pulaski's makeup. I can't remember which one that is, though.
The Deadly Year? No, that's an original series episode.
It's not Contagion.
Same plot, though. No, not Contagion.
But it's about a virus.
Right, but Contagion was the computer virus.
Well, there's episode 1 of season 2, and that's The Child, where Troy gets impregnated.
Oh, Lord.
No, yeah. That's like,
although, they did reference that in a later episode.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, we covered that episode. That's right, don't we?
Right. Yep. We actually pointed that out.
I remember these things. It happened.
Is it a season 2, episode 7, Unnatural Selection, where they come across that ship and everyone's old?
Yes, that's it.
All right.
No, if we're going to do a Loxana episode like Fort Max suggests, it would have to be Menage a Troy.
But there's four of us. Oh, we're still talking about Star Trek. Okay, yeah. I'm on board now. I see. Sorry. I understand. I'm disappointed, but I understand.
Menage a Troy does sound tempting.
Wow, it's like every girl at the bar I've ever talked to. Tempting, but no thanks.
First, I need your checkbook.
Yeah. Then there's episode 22, which is the 50 Shades of Grey. Riker Shades of Grey.
You know that's a clip show, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, that'd be funny to cover a lot of episodes at once.
Yeah, that could actually be funny, too. Like I said, only if we can add a laugh track to it.
That's a lot of work, though.
So episode 19 is Manhunt. That's Troy's more than a little embarrassed when her mother, Loaxana, arrives on board.
I kind of like the idea of us covering a clip show.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Not next week, though.
Aw.
But it's the idea of us choosing a clip show or something to cover. Just the very concept of it makes me laugh.
Okay,
it might not actually be fun in practice, but
think about what we did in Dino Charge recently.
I didn't pay attention because I didn't watch it.
Ah, but you should.
I don't know
what
we did in Dino Charge.
But you should have paid attention. That's the point.
Pay attention to what?
What? So, what's next week?
Well, it's down to Unnatural Selection or Menage a Troy.
Well, you know, Pulaski reverting to her natural age or Troy's mother and some Ferengi. I mean, I think the choice is obvious.
Well, I don't know which episode is going to be better, but I also know which episode is probably going to be worse.
Well, which one's going to be more fun to talk about? That's the real question. Which one are we going to enjoy talking about?
Probably Menage a Troy.
All right, Menage a Troy. That's my vote.
Okay.
Because there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in that episode.
Okay, we'll save Pulaski for another time then.
Yeah. Maybe I think she's kind of.
Maybe that can be the next TNG slot.
Yeah, she's kind of an ace card. You know what I mean? We can pull her out when we need to.
Plus, she's not very racist in that episode, so.
Oh, that's kind of boring.
Yeah, I mean,
you need early season 2 to get the really full-on robot racist Pulaski.
Yeah, the especially Data Pulaski.
One is my name, one is not.
And then
quiet, Toaster, I'm talking.
And then she scans him with a tricorder.
Yeah.
Racist Pulaski's the best.
You see, Data, Captain, I'm picking up large amounts of bitch particles coming from medical bay.
She burns a circuit board in front of his crew quarters.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Okay, so which episode are we doing next week?
Menage a Trois, which is in season 3, I think.
Okay.
Yes.
Somewhere.
24. So season 3, episode 24, Menage a Trois. When Troy's mother spurns advances made by Ferengi, Daimon, he takes it upon himself to kidnap both mother and daughter. Hot.
And they get a little Riker in there, too.
Oh, yeah. We get some Riker Troy action going on. She's going to come away with beard burns. It's going to be great.
Man, how desperate must that Ferengi be to want both Troy and Loxana?
Well, you,
these two women are great. I'll take both of them.
Yeah, I can just see Troy in the other room, you know, on the honeymoon night. It's like, I'm feeling a sense of disappointment.
Like, shit, you know, they're friendly. They surely went to the bar. They had to have seen Guinan there and known that there was better women on board worth taking.
Wait, by seeing Guinan or?
Yes.
Well, like, I don't know. The Fringy
here's might... a woman who's not obnoxious. Maybe we should take her.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The Fringy might have gotten confused and saw her hats and thought that was part of her body.
They could have thought that was part of her ears.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, it's like a prosthetic.
Yeah, that might have just intimidated them.
Right. It'd be like seeing
they
a
can't
woman
pursue,
with like,
too much lobes for business.
Right. They can't pursue a female that has bigger earlobes than them.
Yeah, that might be kind of emasculating for a Ferengi.
Right.
Or it'd be like a girl with, like, obviously big fake boobs. It's like, you know, there's some damage there. You know, it's too fake. Yeah. They're big and they're there, but they're clearly, you got other problems.
The thing that no one realizes about fake boobs is that they have a shelf life. They reach a certain age and they no longer look attractive.
Just like real boobs.
Well, in a different matter. Real boobs look unattractive in a natural manner.
Yeah, don't talk to Hey Mickey about boobs.
Look more and more horrifying.
Try to ruin boobs. Don't you ruin boobs for me, Mickey. God knows you've tried.
Is that a challenge?
No! Stop! I like boobs, and I'd like to continue to do so.
See, Mickey knows
if
he can't...
you have to pause the recording here, I can fill you in on some details.
XB, don't you dare pause this.
Good night, everybody.
Damn it!